There's a Leak in Every Boat, written by Exeter Linden and read by Lutzula. This story is a crossover between Hardcore Logo and Will Be Wonderful. Joe boards the ship in Vancouver, carrying a plastic bag containing 5 cartons of cigarettes, 1 for each week, 4 1-liter bottles of vodka, and the 10 grams of weed that he could afford after that. Billy's Zippo in his pocket. They bunk him in with the only other seasonal worker in a cabin on the bottom deck. No windows, a thick group of pipes hemming in the metal bunk bed riveted to the wall. I don't give a fuck. Put me wherever. Gotta be better than the street, right? The fisherman doesn't answer. Fucker, Joe mumbles under his breath as the guy leaves. He smokes a cigarette, then breaks the seal on the first bottle of vodka. He takes a couple of slugs, and then he falls back on the bottom bunk and crashes out. When he wakes up, there's a gangly guy in the cabin, pulling on one of the orange oilskin suits hanging from hooks on the wall. Better get ready, the guy says. They start pulling in the nets in 15 minutes. Shit, how long have I slept? Joe watches the guy do up the last button in his coat, flick a cigarette into his mouth, and light it. The guy inhales, cheeks hollowing. Half a day, just about. I'm Walt. He stretches out a hand. Joe ignores it. Walt, huh? Walt takes back his hand, shrugs. Joe sits up on the side of the bed, rubbing a hand over his mohawk. White flecks of dandruff drizzle down on his dark jeans. It's not until now he notices the rolling of the ship. His stomach churns with emotion. Fuck, I feel like I'm gonna puke. First time out will do that to you. Walt flicks the cigarette with his lips and tongue, flicking ash to the floor. Then he leaves. Yeah, well, fuck you. Joe stands up carefully between two waves and pulls on his oilskin. The first day is a 10-hour shift, working through the night in the glare of projector lights. Joe starts out by the cogs, pulling crabs and trash fish and seaweed out of the nets as they emerge from the water. Later on, one of the fishermen ushers him below deck, where the still-gaping fish are pushed down a slide, gutted, sorted in size, put in crates, and covered with shovelfuls of crushed ice. Fucking mass murder, isn't it? Joe leans against the wall, smoking a cigarette, sweating underneath the oilskin. He gets no reaction. He takes the last drag of his cigarette and throws it into one of the filled crates. It dies out in the melting ice. He looks up and sees Walt, half turned away, smiling wryly around the soggy stub of a cigarette. They get off after the nets have been sorted and put back out. The galley's on the third deck. The breakfast is served on metal trays, 4 slices of soft bread, scrambled eggs with ketchup, greasy hash browns and peaches from a can. No second servings. Afterwards, the other guys huddle together at one table for a game of cards. Joe stumbles down to his cabin. When he steps in, he catches Walt, quickly hiding a bottle from view. Hey, I don't give a fuck. He fishes out his own bottle of vodka from underneath his blanket. I've got my own. Walt brings his plastic bottle back out. Whiskey, cheap stuff. Don't let the others see that. He indicates at Joe's vodka. What, we're not allowed to drink? We're allowed, but the others might confiscate it anyway. What? Fuck that. Joe tips his head back and swallows steadily, nice hot burn as it hits his stomach. A couple of hours later, he wakes up in the dark cabin. He gets up and fumbles up steep stairs and brightly lit corridors to the bathroom. He pukes up his breakfast, kneeling over the zinc toilet bowl. Billy's Zippo is digging into his hip through his pocket. The smell of seawater is strong in his nostrils as he heaves over the toilet, and when he tries to rinse his mouth in the sink, the tap water is salty. When he gets back to the cabin, he catches Walt watching him in the dark before he turns over on his other side. He comments on the water the next afternoon, 3 cigarettes in, Walt on his 5th. "You see these pipes?" Walt taps them with his bare foot from his top bunk. "That one's the drain pipe. You can hear it every time someone flushes." He touches another one with his toes. "That one's pumping water to the sinks and toilets. You get drinking water from the kitchen." Walt slides him a look. "Helps with seasickness." Joe pretends not to hear. He stops puking after the first week. He goes to the kitchen for a 1-liter bottle of water every day, drinks coffee and booze to slake the rest of his thirst. He starts going a little crazy from never seeing the sunlight after a while, and begins going on deck before his shift starts to smoke a little of his weed and watch the sea while he flicks the Zippo open and closed. The seagulls seem to know when their shifts start. When the first ones start circling the boat, Joe goes downstairs to change into his work clothes. The other guys spend their time off playing poker for $5 and $10 bills. Joe doesn't have that kind of money, and neither does Walt. "You know, this is the worst cabin on the whole ship." Walt lays down his cards on the crate that Joe stole for a table. "Pair of jacks." "Yeah?" "No space, no windows, no ventilation. Least chance of surviving if the ship goes down." "No shit. I'm not surprised." Joe's eyes are watering from the thick smoke in the small room. They leave the door open, but there's no draft to carry the smoke out. He shows his hand. Walt looks over his cards. "Damn." He grimaces and leans back in his seat. He reaches into the deep pockets of his overalls, fishes around for his pack of smokes. His shirt and socks are hanging along with Joe's from the top bunk, damp and wrinkled. Joe looks away, down at the whiskey bottle standing next to Walt's bare foot. The skin of his toes is white and soft from wearing rubber boots all day. Joe coughs, then straightens up and collects the 3 cigarettes he just won off of Walt. "You straight whiskey man? I'll trade you some of my vodka." Walt stops shaving every day. The soft blonde stubble makes him look like Billy. Joe washes out his boxers and his socks in the sink when they get too dire. He tries to shave his head with a dull disposable razor that someone else has abandoned. Fuck! A thin line of blood and soapy water travels towards his eyebrow. Walt, bare-chested by the other sink, hands him a paper towel. "This is a fucking bitch to do by yourself." Walt is scrubbing his armpits with a washcloth. Both of them are pale and thin in the mirror now. Only their hands and faces are red and weather-worn. "I had a friend who used to do it for me." Walt rubs his cloth and bar of soap together. He squints at Joe's abused scalp. "Want me to do it?" "No." Joe rinses out the razor in the sink. The sudsy water is turning pink. He gets all the way up to the deck before he realizes he forgot the Zippo in the cabin. Didn't put his back in his pocket after rinsing out his jeans. He runs down the stairs, shouldering past a couple of the other guys who shoot him dirty looks. Walt has the lighter. He's turning it over in his hand, looking at the engravings. Made in the States, etched in small print underneath. Give me that. Joe takes it, doesn't wait for Walt to hold it out for him. He's shaking, breathing hard. What the fuck are you doing, going through my stuff? It was on your bed. What the fuck were you doing going through my stuff? 4 weeks of being cooped up with this guy, and suddenly Joe is thrumming for a fight. Walt looks up at him, obviously not getting it. Did a girl give it to you or something? It's a short scuffle. Joe takes Walt by surprise, but the skinny fucker is strong. He's not vicious like Billy is, though. He stops fighting almost immediately, lets Joe press him down on the floor. Joe spits in his face then, and finally Walt headbutts him, skull connecting with Joe's mouth. It has him spitting blood over the railing when he goes back above deck. Joe stays in the galley after shifts the next couple of days. He sits alone, reads an old newspaper that someone left behind. One afternoon he wakes up, and the silence tells him that he's alone in the cabin. He yawns, gets out of bed, stretches. He casts a glance at the door, and then he hefts himself up over the side of the top bunk. Walt's bag is at the foot of his bed, pressed in along with empty plastic bottles between the thin mattress and the wall. Joe takes it. It looks like an old school bag, faded blue and green, ingrained with filth, zipper broken. Ugly motherfucker. Joe pours out its contents on his own bed. An extra shirt, boxers, socks. One empty carton of cigarettes, another carton down to 4 packs. Not a lot of whiskey left. In one of the sock rolls, he finds a wad of money, $110 in small bills, rolled neatly together. Son of a bitch. He peels off $20 and pockets them. Everything is covered in crumbled tobacco and smells like week old smoke. In the front pocket, he finds a book with the back broken quarterways in. It's stuffed full of postcards, huddled close to the spine. Halifax, Fredericton, Grand Falls, Quebec, Winnipeg. A couple from the West Coast. Joe pulls them out and flips them over one by one. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm in, and I've been staying in, and how are you? I'm... All of it in capital letters. None of the postcards are finished, even though they are all stamped and addressed to a Mr. and Mrs. McDonald in Nova Scotia. Joe runs his thumb over one of the stamps that's coming loose at the edges where the glue is gone. He carefully replaces the postcards in the book and puts the whole thing back in the front pocket. After a moment, he retrieves the $20 from his pocket and puts it back with the rest of the money before rolling the socks back up. He pushes everything else back into the bag and throws it on the top bunk. Walt comes in shortly after. Joe's on his bed. He watches Walt's back as he hangs the dripping oilskin. Must be raining hard. So, you're from the East Coast? He says, and sees Walt's shoulders tense up. I've been sailing the West Coast for some years now. Walt's voice is blank, but he turns around and goes straight for his bag. Were you a runaway? No. Walt sounds preoccupied. Joe turns his head, and he's looking at his midriff, into the gap where his shirt and jeans come apart as he stretches. I was. From where he's laying, he can't see it, but he's pretty sure that Walt is getting out his money, counting it. Why don't you finish writing any of your postcards? Walt sighs after a moment, sounding relieved. Done counting, Joe guesses. I don't know what to write, Walt hesitates. Don't write too well either. Huh. How about, Dear Mom and Dad, screw you. Sincerely, Walter. Walt looks down at him, a small smile tugging at the edges of his mouth. At least it's short. Joe takes a deep drag of the joint and holds it up for Walt, who takes it with his thumb and forefinger, pinching the hot stub right above Joe's fingers. Joe exhales, slow and steady. They're on their last 24 hours, sailing into harbor. They're almost out of booze, but Joe had enough weed left for a couple of joints. Two floors up, they can hear country music playing in the galley, the others shouting and laughing. "So, what do you think about sailing?" Walt asks, voice deep from holding back smoke. Joe takes the joint, and he can see muscles flexing in his arm as he reaches. He's got muscles now. Muscles and a shitload of aches. "I don't know. It's another kind of hard and fucked up than I'm used to." Walt barks out a laugh, voice mostly gone. "What do you mean?" "I'd been on the street for a while before boarding. I have this friend back in Vancouver, Billy. He fucked me over." Joe drinks from the vodka bottle dangling from his hand, laughs. "He's a fucking drama queen. It happens once in a while. Should be all right when I get back into town." "Guy sounds like an asshole." Joe stills. He takes a deep drag of the joint, chases it with a swig of whiskey, wipes his mouth against his shoulder. "Yeah, he is. But so am I." Walter huffs, one hand reaching down. "I don't think so." "Shut up." Joe pushes the bottle into his hand. He kills the damp butt of the joint, then leans back on his cot and swings his legs up. He looks up at the metal mesh of springs, swallowing. "I stole it from him. It's his." "What is?" Walt's voice is muffled from the top bunk. "The lighter. The zipper. It's Billy's." Walt is quiet for a long time, and all Joe can see of him are his hairy ankles, the calloused skin on his heels. Then he jumps softly to the floor and turns off the light. He kneels by the side of Joe's bed. Joe hears him, and he can feel him in the darkness above. A hand wraps around his shoulder, tugs. "Come here." Joe does, and he feels Walt's hot exhale against his face before he's being kissed. They make out sluggishly, stoned kisses, wide and wet. Walt's tongue is big in Joe's mouth. It burns with whiskey and dope. Joe presses his head back, bares his throat a little. Walt puts a couple fingers there, against his pulse, and keeps kissing him. When they finally pull apart, Joe opens his eyes again, and he can see a little in the dark. He can see the silhouette of Walt leaning in over him, elbows pointing back and upwards. Long fingers leave the side of the cot to reach for Joe's fly. Hot, dry press of fingers on his dick through his jeans. "I'll get you off." "Fag," Joe says quietly. Walt doesn't answer. Stepping on to dry land after 5 weeks out, and Joe's not the only one who's stumbling on the firm ground, blinking convulsively against the sunlight. The dock is crowded with people, cars, boats sounding their horn as they come into port. They offload the dripping crates, and everyone stands at attention as the crates get counted and carted away. 5 weeks of work gone in 15 minutes. The contractor sets up a picnic table by the side of the boat and pays in cash. After they've received their money, the sailors leave, one by one, without ceremony. Joe starts walking. The street is puddled with water, oily and slick. Soaked newspaper and crushed styrofoam cling wetly to the asphalt, ground into it by the trucks passing by. Joe smells rotting fish and the exhaust from diesel engines, so strong he can almost taste it. He finds himself short of breath, overwhelmed by the scents and the noise. 100 meters down, he spots Walt standing at the side of the street, finishing the bottle from yesterday. He's got an unlit cigarette between his fingers. Joe walks over. You need a light? Walt's eyes are red. He still looks a little stoned. Yeah, thanks. Voice scratchy, the effects of too much booze and too many cigarettes. Joe gets the Zippo, flicks it, holds it out for Walt. He lights one for himself, and they smoke together. Walt adjusts his bag across his shoulder. I'll be going back on the boat. Okay. I'll be getting back to... Okay. Walt spits out the butt. His hands are ready in his pockets for another. Joe offers him the Zippo. Walt takes it, lights up, and inhales deeply, throat working. He holds out the lighter to Joe. Actually, you can keep that. Walt nods. Okay. He smiles a little. Joe can't. He gets his plastic bag from between his feet. Nothing but empty bottles. He throws it away, first trash bin he sees, and then he goes looking for a ride back into Vancouver. The end. This has been a reading of There's a Leak in Every Boat by Exeter Linden. You can find the rest of the other stories at exeterlinden.livejournal.com. The spelling is EXETERLINDEN.